الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، First and foremost, إخوان, we begin by, of course, apologizing, إخوان, for our late arrival on top of the various difficulties that we had on the way in, and then coming across the roadworks that were here. But prior to that, taking the wrong turn on the motorway and ending up in Heathrow. Allah al-musta'an. But Allah Azza wa Jal commend you, Ikhwan, for your patience. And that is what we always find here in Dar al-Sunnah. Ikhwan, Dar al-Sunnah, mashallah, tayyibin. And sarahatan, Ikhwan, if there is anything that we can be proud about, it is the shabab that we have here in the UK. Our shabab in the UK, and this is no doubt, Ikhwan, for the one who travels will know that there are few places that have shabab with the type of zeal, in the Western world that is, of course, that have shabab with the type of zeal, the type of azam, the type of resolve, the type of يعني, love for khair and for ilm and for mudarasa and mudhakara that our shabab have here. And Ikhwan, that is not saying it because we're British, saraha. If anybody travels and moves around various countries, and particularly in the West, Qasti, you will find, Ikhwan, that you would be hard pushed, and you'll be hard pushed to find the type of shabab that we have here. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase our khair and to increase our shabab upon that which they are upon from good. Similarly, from that which is to be noted for the shabab in the UK and the people upon the sunnah in the UK is their love, Ikhwan, for the people of knowledge. And that love for the people of knowledge, having love for them, is something that, without doubt, Ikhwan, issues from the khair that is present within the qulub of Ahlul Sunnah. But nobody has love for the people of knowledge except those who have a love for knowledge. And no one has a love for knowledge other than the one, and for seeking knowledge, other than the one that is muwaffaq, that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted success, or granted within him success, or her. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned, as occurs in the hadith of Muawiyah, which is, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomsoever Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for, he gives him fiqh of the religion. And that fiqh of the religion, of course, returns back to having a desire for fiqh of the religion, a desire for ilm, and a desire for talab al-ilm, and al-izdiyad min الطلب ومن العلم, يعني that a person increases in seeking knowledge, in gaining and drawing closer to Allah Azza wa Jal by way of that ilm. And it is for this reason that we gather, no doubt, Ikhwan, to discuss and to look at the alim that we're looking at in tonight's session. Yani our gathering today is no doubt to try and take some benefit from the life of one of those people of knowledge. Those who are alive, if we're able to travel to them, we do so. And those who have passed away, then the only thing that we can do, Ikhwan, is study their biographies, is to look at their life, is to look at that which was mentioned by the great a'imma of their time and by their contemporaries, what they mentioned concerning them, what has been recorded concerning that great alim and that great jihbidh, and that perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal may instill within our hearts a desire to emulate them. And that is the maqsood, that is the intent, that anyone who seeks knowledge, he does so because he has no doubt the desire to draw close to Allah Azza wa Jal, just as he has a desire to become from the people of knowledge. Of course, Ikhwan, the talab al-ilm is not just for ilm's sake, but it has fruits, and it is the fruits of seeking knowledge that the talib ilm, he yearns for and that he desires. From those fruits, of course, fruits that manifest in his aqeedah, that is in the firm resolve that he has in his heart, based upon the ilm that he has in his heart, based upon the strength of iman that issues from that ilm. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, as we are informed by Allah Azza wa Jal in the book of Allah subhanahu in Surah Baqarah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, who was the one that Allah Azza wa Jal has left as an example for the believers, he sought an increase in that ilm that was present within his qalb, that firm resolve. Qala Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta, qala awalam tu'min, qala bala, walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. He said, "Oh Allah, show me how you give life to the dead." He said, "Do you not believe?" He said, "Of course. But I seek itmi'nan, an increase in the firm resolve and in the tranquility that is present within the heart." And that no doubt is an indication of the fact that ilm, by way of ilm, even the asl and the origin of iman that is in the heart, that aslul iman, which is present within the qalb, that inqiyad that is present within the heart, that tasdeeq that is present within the heart, him testifying to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla and that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to his messenger is haqq and true, and him having the firm resolve to act upon it, that is increased with ilm and with knowledge. So our study, Ikhwan, and I were looking at the life of the people of knowledge, no doubt has fruits. And from the greatest of them is the study of the practical manifestation of ilm upon those who are other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from those who the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasallam encouraged us with. يَحْمِلُ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَلَفٍ عُدُولُ. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that this knowledge will be carried in every generation by its trustworthy ones, and they repel from it, yani they repel from the deen, the ta'wil al-ghalin wa intihal al-mubtilin, tahrif al-ghalin wa intihal al-mubtilin wa ta'wil al-jahilin, the distortions of those who go beyond bounds, the false fabrications of those who fabricate, and the false interpretations of those who are ignorant. And so the carriers of this knowledge, then, they are those who have been described by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that description is and has within it an encouragement to emulate them, to follow them, to listen to them, to benefit from them, to take from them. If they're the carriers of this ilm, they're the carriers of this deen, then the statement of the Prophet ﷺ was not just a description of them, but was an encouragement to follow them, was an encouragement to be like them, was an encouragement to benefit from them and to take from them. We travel towards those, as we mentioned, who are alive, and may Allah Azza wa Jal preserve all of them, and we benefit from the lives of those who have passed on, from their writings and their works. This great Imam, Ayyuhal Ikhwa, that we have before us today, I'm sure that every single one of us, if he's a person of Sunnah, then there is no doubt that he has benefited from this great Imam. And this Imam, Ikhwan, has been given the title Shaykhul Islam. And there are more than 80 of the a'imma of his time who refer to him as Shaykhul Islam. Shaykhul Islam. And that title, ikhwan, that honorific title, is of course because of the fact that it is not any alim that we're looking at, ikhwan. Here we're dealing with an authority in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that his position, his status, his ilm, his great station with Ahlul Sunnah is such that if a man speaks ill of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, you can have azam that he's a mubtadi. Yani, have no shak that the one who speaks ill of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that he is a person of innovation and bid'ah, if he knows about Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. If he's a jahil muqallid, la ya'rif shay, then perhaps there's some udhr. And if he doesn't have any clue or any understanding or any background. But if he knows who Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is, what he represented, what he established, how he was, his life, his biography, and he speaks ill of him, then I have no doubt that he is sahibu hawa mubtadi'. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ayyuha al-ikhwa, the great imam that we're going to be looking at today. And today, of course, ikhwan, because it is late, we'll just look at a muqaddimah and look to follow up our sitting with Shaykh al-Islam with perhaps a session or two around his life. In actuality, ikhwan, the great imam, Shaykh al-Islam, the life of the imam, ikhwan, is not studied in a session or two, hakikatan. Yani, the life of this jihbid, this abqari, is not studied in a session or two, la yumkin. The only thing that we can do is just look at a nubdha and a general synopsis or a brief glimpse into something from his manaqib, something from his fada'il, something from that which has been mentioned concerning him. But all of you, I'm sure, are aware that he is Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Abu al-Abbas al-Harrani. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ayyuhal ikhwa, who was born in the year 661. And he was born into a family of ilm. He was born in Harran, ikhwan, is in northeastern Turkey in our time. In this era, he was considered a part of Turkey, though it was not considered Turkey at that time. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, ayyuhal ikhwa, was born into a family of ilm. Shaykh al-Islam himself, his father, Abdul Halim, was a faqih. A faqih that was known to be ajib in terms of his hifz and his istihdar and his ability to draw upon evidences and to pass verdicts and rulings, and that he was one that was known for his quwwat hifz, because of his strong and due to his strong memory. That it was said concerning him that when he would deliver his durus, that he would close his eyes and deliver. And that he would speak from memory, would deliver from memory. Likewise, his father, Abdul Salam, Majduddin Abu al-Barakat, that the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, likewise was an alim from the ulama of hadith. The one who authored the well-known book, Muntaqa al-Akhbar, the book that Al-Imam Shawkani explained in his book, Nail al-Awtar. Nail al-Awtar, ikhwan, is a book, explanation of one of the books of the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, his grandfather, authored a book that has in it somewhere in the region of 3,300 hadith from the ahadith of Ahkam. Those of you who are familiar with the kutub of ahadith al-Ahkam, those books that gather the ahadith that have in them rulings concerning the Sharia, the likes of Bulugh al-Maram, Umdatul Ahkam, the likes of Al-Muntaqa, Ibn Jarud, and the other books, ikhwan, that are well known around the topic of ahadith al-Ahkam. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah's grandfather similarly authored, possibly other than those books that have in them ahadith that are narrated with asanid, like the bigger books in hadith, Sunan Abu Dawood and the likes. From the smaller books, then it is possibly the best of the ahadith, the books of ahadith al-ahkam, or from the best of the books related to Ahadith al-Ahkam. To the extent that up until this very day, our ulama have i'tina and pay concern to the book. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz has an explanation of Muntaqa al-Akhbar, or at least a part of it. Likewise, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen has an explanation of Muntaqa al-Akhbar. Bal Shaykhuna, Sheikh Rabi', I remember the Sheikh mentioning in our time when we were students in Medina, that he mentioned, as it relates to Nail al-Awtar, the explanation of Muntaqa al-Akhbar, that man darasa wa man qara'a hadha al-kitab wa fahima ma fi fa huwa min fuqaha'i hadhihi al-ummah. That whomsoever reads the book, yani Nail al-Awtar, the explanation of Muntaqa al-Akhbar, and understands and is clear concerning what is in it, then he's from the fuqaha of this ummah. Book, Ikhwana Kitab, that is azim, jiddan, authored by the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam. His brothers were ulama, Abdul Rahman and Abdullah. His cousins, his paternal cousins, were from the people of knowledge. A family, ayyuhal ikhwa, that was a family of ilm. Bal, the term and the name Taymiyyah, which is one of the positions of the people of knowledge, was a reference to one of their previous grandmothers, who was known to be a wa'idha, one that would give, a woman who would give admonition, a woman who would give reminders, strong admonition, and she became well known, and thus the latter children and the offsprings were referred to by way of her, because of her popularity and her being well known. And thus, Ikhwan, it is a family we're dealing with, and looking here at a family of ilm. And thus, when we have the likes of Majduddin Abu al-Barakat being from the grandfathers of Shaykh al-Islam, who he likewise was known for his amazing memory, yani, and his amazing istihdar of ahadith, particularly as it relates to the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah. But Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions that himself, concerning his own grandfather, that he was amazing. Our grandfather, he was amazing in relation to al-hadith and making istihdar, or bringing hadith, yani being able to draw from that which he had memorized, and to quote, and likewise to mention the aqwal of the ulama, the ikhtilafat of the ulama and the madhahib and the varying schools of thought, and then mention the tarajih and the conclusion concerning an issue. Shaykh al-Islam's grandfather was amazing in that regard. And so there is little wonder that their children will have some and will take some of that benefit. But of course, Ikhwan, Allah knows best whether Abdul Halim expected to have a son like Ahmad. Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, who from the age of 5, when his father fled from the region of Harran because of the invasion, the varying invasions of the Tatar, of the Tatars, the Mongols, who were invading various regions of the Dawla al-Islamiyya. They fled from Harran to Damascus when Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was 5 years old. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, incidentally, was born on the 12th of Rabi'in al-Awwal, on a Monday. Was born on the 12th of Rabi'in al-Awwal on a Monday. That mean anything to anybody? That's the exact same day that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born on. But not only the exact same day in terms of the date, the 12th, but even the day. Because the 12th of Rabi'in al-Awwal isn't always going to be a Monday. But he was born likewise on a Monday, on the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, the exact same day as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was 5 years old, then the father of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah fled from the region of Harran to Damascus with Shaykh al-Islam as a young boy and a young child, that it was seen from an early age that he had a number of distinguishing characteristics. Number one, from his characteristics, even as a child, was that he was not interested in playing.
with other children. Anyway, in playing generally as other children play. But there is a popular story concerning his father taking Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, or taking the family on an excursion that Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was encouraged to go to, but he didn't want to attend, he didn't want to participate. That his father was taking the family and the children out to an orchard to play. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah preferred to stay at home. And so his father, yani, had something of an issue with that. So when he returned, he confronted Sheikh al-Islam concerning it, and the fact that, yani, the rest of the children, they would have liked for you to attend. So when he returned, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said to his father, after his father made that statement, he said to his father, when you were away, I memorized this. And he raised the book, Junnatul Munadhir. Junnatul Munadhir, which is the asl of Al-Rawda Al-Nadhir, the well-known book in Usul Al-Fiqh. So he memorized the whole book. And while they were out at the orchard playing, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah memorized the whole book. And so he was well-known, ikhwan, for his amazing hifz and for his desire and his love for ilm from an early age. And not just a desire and a love for ilm because of the fact that he knew that his parents loved that from him, but because of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal had given him from a young age a sincere ta'alluq billah and a sincere connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a love for carrying out actions for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, even as a child. In fact, the teacher of Shaykh al-Islam, the one who would teach him the Quran, his father had said to him that whenever he memorizes such and such an amount, that you should give him 40 dirham. And every time he memorizes such and such, give him 40 dirham. And so on the first occasion when he went to give him the money, he said, "What is this?" And so he said, "It is for what you've memorized." So he said, "Verily, I have taken an oath with Allah that I would never take anything for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, or in exchange for the book of Allah Azza wa Jal." A young boy. "I had taken an oath with Allah that I would memorize and study the book of Allah and never take anything in exchange for it." So you can imagine, ikhwan, if you had a boy, a child, and this is his attitude, yani, from 5, 6, 7 years old. Yani, you know the boy is going to grow to be something serious, inshallah. And so, from an early age, his children, afwan, his siblings, and his parents recognized that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, there was definitely something special about this young boy. He memorized the Quran from an early age, and then he took to studying the various ulum al-Islamiyyah, the various sciences. And after studying, of course, al-lugha wal-usul wal-tafsir wa hatta mantiq, even the various linguistic sciences like mantiq, lexicography, يعني أنه والصرف والأدب, and all of the varying sciences that the talib ilm would ordinarily specialize in, he had a particular love for hadith. And so he set to memorizing the books of hadith. And from the books that mentioned that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah memorized was Al-Jam' Bayn al-Sahihayn of Al-Humaydi. That he memorized Al-Jam' Bayn al-Sahihayn of Al-Humaydi. Imam Al-Humaydi authored a book, Gathering Between Sahih Al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. It is now present in 4 volumes. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah memorized the book. Then he went on to read the Kutub and study the Kutub al-Sitta. And of course, ikhwan, it was mentioned concerning himself, that never did I read a book except that I absorbed everything that was within it. Similarly, it was known that he had qillat al-nisyan, yani that anything that he would memorize, he would rarely forget. And so he may have studied a book years ago and recall it many years later. And so from the books that that it is said concerning his study, and ikhwan, sarahatan, there was a huge list of the kutub that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. We wanted to mention, but perhaps in our second part we'll make mention of the ajza, that is, the books of hadith that were not the canonical, well-known collections of hadith, because he studied them and he mastered those books. But he also studied the what is known with the scholars of hadith as the ajza al-hadithiyya. The ajza al-hadithiyya are the smaller books that were not as well-known as the well-known books like the Kutub al-Sitta and what have you. He studied the Kutub al-Sitta. He went on to study the Musnad of Imam Ahmad Marrat, a number of the biographers who mention the Talib al-Ilm of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, they mention that he studied the Musnad of Imam Ahmad Marrat. The Musnad of Imam Ahmad right now, Ikhwan, is present in 50 volumes, tahqiq, that is a checking, in 50 volumes, and we have somewhere in the region of 33,000 hadith. And he studied it Marrat. If you look at an individual in our time, and if he studied well some 3,000 hadith from it, يعني, he said, mashallah. 3,000 from Musnad Imam Ahmad, mashallah. But Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah studied Musnad Imam Ahmad Marrat, the biographies and the Kutub al-Tawarikh mentioned concerning him, and on a number of occasions. And knowing his memory, يعني, that he would without doubt have put the majority of that to memory or to heart. Similarly, from the books that he was known to study was the Mu'jam al-Kabir of Imam al-Tabarani. The Mu'jam al-Kabir is in somewhere in the region of 26 volumes, that is in our time with the tahqiq of Sheikh Hamdi Salafi. But the book itself is huge. It is a huge, from the bigger books of hadith. Likewise, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah had studied and had mastery over the book of Al-Imam al-Tabarani. There are a number, as we mentioned, of the ajza al-hadithiyya. Some of them are kutub that are not known in our time, like the ajza, مثلاً, like the amali of Ibn Badran, the small books that were either ibara and jalasat or sittings that the scholars of hadith had, oftentimes on a Thursday, where the alim of hadith would sit and would make mention of one particular subject. And sometimes that one subject could be a subject related to his shuyukh. So, مثلاً, the sheikh, with some of the sittings of amali, he would sit and he would narrate to his students all of the ahadith that he has that have an isnad by way of Imam Zuhri, مثلاً. Or tonight's session is the night of Amr ibn Dinar. Or Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. Or Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. And tonight, the only thing that we're going to narrate are all of the ahadith that I have by way of Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. And so the sheikh would sit and he would narrate the ahadith that he has with asanid returning back to Yahya ibn Abi Kathir alone. And that would possibly be referred to as the juz' fi ahadith Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. Or al-juz' fi ahadith al-Zuhri, مثلاً, of al-Imam al-Fulani. So these smaller books, of course, Ikhwan, because of the fact that these are speciality books, they are not books that are popular with the Muslims in general. Rather, these are books that the students of knowledge, the people of knowledge are familiar with, and have within them a hadith that may not be well known in the more popular books of hadith. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah similarly studied and memorized a huge amount of the ajza al-hadithiyya, to the extent that we have authorships from some of the a'imma of hadith during the time of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah that have written mustakhrajat upon the kutub and the books of, or the riwayat of Shaykh al-Islam, like Al-Birzali, who has a mustakhraj, which is a book wherein he authors a book mentioning the chains of narration that he has going back
to the similar either text or a hadith or books that another author likewise has. So for example, the Mustakhraj of Abu Awana upon Sahih Muslim. Abu Awana in his Mustakhraj, when he read and studied the book of Al-Imam Muslim, he saw, since they were relative contemporaries, he saw that many of the ahadith, in fact all of the ahadith that Imam Muslim has, he had. But he had them in some instances with chains of narration that differed slightly at one end, that is at his end, at the end of his sheikh, to the narration that was collected by Imam Muslim, and to the version that was collected by Imam Muslim. And so, the one who makes a mustakhraj or writes a mustakhraj, he comes to each ahadith that was mentioned by the Imam, in this case with the mustakhraj of Abu Awana, Sahih Muslim, and he narrates the same ahadith but with my isnad, going back to those same ahadith. And so in it is, of course, taqwiyah and a strengthening of that which is present within the original book. And in some instances, we have some slight variations in some of the riwayat and in some of those ahadith. And thus, ikhwan, in it is fa'idah, in it is benefit. You won't find it off-quoted as Mathala Sahih Muslim is quoted, but there is still great benefit in some of those mustakhrajat. فَمَثَلًا Imam Muslim may make mention of a hadith, and then he mentions a chain of narration, and he says, after mentioning his chain of narration, he says, نَحْوَهُ. So he mentions, حَدَّثَنَا قُتَيْبَةَ بْنِ عَبْدِ سَعِيدٍ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانٌ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانٌ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا نَحْوَهُ. So he mentions his chain of narration, after mentioning the original hadith, another version of the hadith, he just begins to end the chapter by mentioning just chains of narration. And then he mentions nahwahu, similar to it. That is, these chains of narration bring a hadith that are similar to the ones that I've mentioned previously. Imam Abu Awana will come in his mustakhraj and perhaps mention the text of those ahadith that Imam Muslim only mentioned the isnad of. So there are benefits in the books of mustakhraj. Al-Birzali, he has written a mustakhraj upon all of the books, the ajza, the smaller books of hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah had asanid for, that he likewise had asanid for. And we're dealing here, ikhwan, with hundreds of books of hadith, smaller books of hadith, books, ikhwan, that if we were to mention them right now, most of the people in the dunya, talking about in this masjid, in the dunya, wouldn't be familiar with those books, and speciality books of hadith. To the extent, ikhwan, that al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was from the contemporaries of Shaykh al-Islam, and those who benefited greatly from his ilm, he said, "Kullu hadithin la ya'rifuhu Shaykh al-Islam, falaysa bihadith." He said, any hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah does not know, then it is not a hadith. Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah does not know that hadith, not familiar with it, it is not a hadith. And that is that Shaykh Islam was not just familiar with the ahadith that are sahiha, but he was familiar with the ahadith that are da'ifa. He studied those kutub al-hadith, ikhwan, and his memory was well known in terms of being amazing. In that regard, we have the statement, ikhwan, of Imam al-Shawkani. Imam al-Shawkani, in his book Al-Badr Al-Tali', he gathers within his book the biographies of some of the latter-day scholars, he makes mention of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. He mentions concerning him, after mentioning his name, Ahmad ibn Abdul Halim, ila akhiri, he mentions, قَالَ ibn Hajar fi الدُّرَرْ وَقَرَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَنَسَخَ سُنَنَ بِي دَاوُودِ وَحَصَّلَ الْأَجْزَاءِ. He said that, and this is, ikhwan, he quotes because the original statement is longer. In this original statement, Al-Imam Hafidh ibn Hajar, he mentions the various books that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah that he studied and that he memorized and studied. He mentions Mustad Imam Ahmad, he mentions the Kutub
As-Sitta and others, likewise the Mu'jam al-Kabir of Tabarani, as we mentioned. And then he said, وَقَرَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ. These were books that he studied with his shuyukh. He said, وَقَرَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ كَذَلِكَ. He likewise studied himself and read himself. Yani alongside the sittings with his teachers, he likewise studied and read himself. He said, وَقَرَأَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَنَسَّخَ سُنَنَ بِدَاوُودِ. He himself studied the books of hadith and he wrote out by hand the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. He said, وَحَصَّلَ الْأَجْزَاءِ. And he came across the ajza, yani that is the ajza of hadith, yani those smaller books of hadith that we were mentioning. وَنَظَرَ فِي الرِّجَالِ وَالْعِلَلِ. Similarly, he looked into and studied the sciences of rijal, of the narrators, of ilal, yani of the study of the hidden defects in hadith, which is ajib that we hear some people saying, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah was, mashallah, he was strong in aqeedah, but hadith wasn't really his forte. Kazib. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, ikhwan, was an imam in hadith. And that is what was mentioned concerning every ilm from the uloom that he would speak concerning, you would believe that that was his specialism. Bas. If he spoke in lugha, you would believe if this was the first time that you were to come across him, then you'd believe him to be a lughawi. Yani bas, that's his speciality. If he spoke in tafsir, then you would believe him to be a mufassir. As his students mentioned that he would sit in the dars, sit for the dars, and that he would lower his head and close his eyes and just yasrud, that he would begin to narrate. And he said that it was possible to write a volume from one of his sittings in tafsir. Al-Imam Kathir and others mentioned that when he took up tadris after his father passed away, that he sat for years making tafsir of Surah An-Nur. Bas. Surah An-Nur. One surah that he sat for years from yani ilqa, from himself, from his study of the kutub of tafsir. He himself mentioned that I will look in some issues related to tafsir in over 100 kitab, over 100 books of hadith, books of tafsir, around the tafsir of a particular ayah. And if you were to strive now, ikhwan, from the books of hadith, the books of tafsir, yani you'll be lucky to gather 20 or 30 of the classical books of tafsir, yani those kutub of tafsir that have asanid going back to the author, that have asanid for the narrations, the likes of the tafsir of Imam al-Tabari, the likes of the tafsir of al-Imam al-Baghawi, the likes of the tafsir of al-Imam Ibn Abi Hatim, and those other books of tafsir that had tafsir ibn Mardawi, that had asanid going back, or chains of narration going back to the alim and to the author of the book. Ala kullin, he mentions watafaqqah. Likewise, he studied fiqh, watamahhar, wataqaddam, and he became an expert and a specialist and at the forefront of those fields. Wasannafa wadarras, he said, and he authored and he taught. Waafta waafaq al aqran, he gave fatawa and he surpassed his contemporaries. وَصَارَ عَجَبًا فِي سُرْعَةِ الْإِسْتِحْضَارِ وَقُوَّةِ الْجَنَانِ وَالتَّوَصُّعِ فِي الْمَنْقُولِ وَالْمَعْقُولِ وَالْإِطِّلَاعِ عَلَى مَذَاهِبِ السَّلَفِ وَالْخَلَفِ. He said that he became an amazement in relation to his quick or his rapid ability to recall text. Yani his ability to just yani to draw from the nusus of the kitab and the sunnah, from the text of the kitab and the sunnah, his ability to do so amazed the people. He mentions, and so he became the object of amazement in relation to his surat al-istihdar wa quwwat al-janan, yani his firm resolve and his tawassu' and his vast knowledge and comprehension of that which is present from the text and from the intellectual arguments. Wal ittila, and him coming across the madahib or the various schools of thought among the salaf and the khalaf. Now, he said,
this is now Al-Imam Al-Shawkani. Imam Al-Shawkani, he said, وَأَقُولُ أَنَا, and he said, and I say, that statement, that passage was from Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar in Al-Durar Al-Kamina. Here, Al-Imam Al-Shawkani, he said, and I say, وَأَقُولُ أَنَا لَا أَعْلَمُ بَعْدِ ابْنِ هَزَمْ مِثْلَهُ وَمَا أَظُنُّهُ سَمِحَ الزَّمَانِ مَا بَيْنَ عَصْرِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ بِمَنْ شَابَهَهُمَا أَوْ يُقَارِبَهُمَا. He said, and I do not believe, he said, first and foremost, I do not know, after Al-Imam Ibn Hazm, anyone that was like him, yani between Imam Ibn Hazm and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, anyone that was like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, or Afwan, anyone that was like the two of them. Because Al-Imam Ibn Hazm was likewise well known in terms of his characteristics to be similar to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in relation to hifdh, in relation to fiqh and fahm and deep understanding and comprehension. He said, I don't know between the Asr and between the era of these two scholars, anyone that resembled them or came close to resembling them. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, كَانَ يُقْضَى مِنْهُ الْعَجَبِ إِذَا ذَكَرَ مَسْأَلَةً مِنْ مَسَائِلِ الْخِلَافِ وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَسْرَعَ انْتِزَاعًا لِلْآيَاتِ الدَّالَّ عَلَى الْمَسْأَلَةِ الَّتِي يُرِدُهَا مِنْ وَلَا أَشَدُّ اسْتِحْضَارًا لِلْمُتُونِ وَعَزْوِهَا مِنْ. He said, and I do not know. This is Imam al-Dhahabi, he said, that he was amazing in that which he would mention from the issues of khilaf, yani from the issues of difference of opinion, and how he would discuss them. He said, I did not see anyone that was quicker in pulling and in drawing and extrapolating from the ayat that indicate the issue. He said, and neither anyone that was better in bringing and recalling the text of يعني of the kitab and the sunnah. He said, وَكَانَتْ السُنَّةِ نَصْبُ عَيْنَيْهِ وَعَلَى طَرْفِ لِسَانِهِ بِعِبَارَةٍ رَشِيقَةٍ وَكَانَ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ فِي التَّفْسِيرِ وَالتَّوَصُّعِ فِيهِ. He said that indeed the sunnah was before his eyes. That is, yani he would sit and just mention and just draw a hadith. The sunnah was before his eyes. And if you could imagine, ikhwan, that there was a book that a person has studied and memorized and he knows it well. If a person was, and I'm sure you're familiar, ikhwan, with anything that you've memorized and you memorized it well, that if someone were to ask you concerning it, or if you were in need of drawing from it, and your ability to draw from it is relatively straightforward because you've memorized it, you've put it to memory, you've retained it. Here, these a'imma are mentioning that concerning Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and the sunnah. He said, وَكَانَتِ السُنَّةِ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْ. He said, the sunnah was before his eyes. Yani, it was yani in front of him. We just draw a hadith. He said, وَعَلَى طَرَفِ لِسَانِهِ, and at the tip of his tongue. But not at the tip of his tongue as we would use it. When you say, it's at the tip of my tongue, yani I can't draw it. It's there, but I just can't remember it right now. Like, with him, tip of his tongue, yeah, and he fell off his tongue. And that is, ikhwana, an indication of the quwwah and the strength of ilm, the strength of hifdh, the strength of istihdhar. And that is something, ikhwana, the talib ilm will be familiar with. That it is possible that a person, in terms of memorization, that it is possible that a person has good memory. Yani he doesn't struggle with memorizing. But his issue may possibly be recalling. And that isn't a contradiction in terms. Yani it is, mathalan, if an individual were to memorize a chapter, mathalan from Bulugh al-Maram, and then an issue related to one of the ahadith that he's memorized comes up. The talib ilm, and any of you who have memorized may know that you know that there's a text related to the issue. Bal, you've memorized the text. But right now, it's just not coming to mind. And it occurs. Right now, for some reason, La ilaha illallah, what is the hadith? Huh? And Shams will probably know in the park, just when you need it most, yani, just the first word. If somebody give me the first word, I remember it.
Thank you for it.
Reaching for it. But it doesn't come to mind. And that then, Ikhwan, is of course, Ikhwan, it may then be that a person, he's memorized well, but there is a difference between having strong memory or and having memorized a large amount of text and having the ability to draw those texts, to recall those texts as and when needed. Al-istihdar. And how many a times, Ikhwan, you may have discussed an issue and then left, and then you say, La ilaha illallah, and that was the hadith. Such and such a hadith. Come back to you after the sitting or after the gathering or after the discussion. Here, the imma, all of them mentioned concerning Shaykh al-Islam, he's amazed. They were not just that he was good at it, that he was ajab. And he was amazing. His ability to just recall. His ability to just recall the text of the Kitab and the Sunnah. He said, likewise, it was on the tip of his tongue. He said, and he was an ayah. Min ayatillah. He was a sign. From the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it came to tafsir. And tawassu, and being vast in the knowledge of tafsir. He said, وَأَمَّا الْأُسُولِ أو أَمَّا أُسُولَ الدِّيَانَ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَقْوَالَ الْمُخَالِفِينَ فَكَانَ لَا يُشَقُّ غُبَارٌ فِيهِ. He said, similarly, as it relates to the affair of usul and the fundamentals of the deen, the fundamentals of the religion, then there was, again, it was something that was easy for him. Yani, it was simple. Yani, something that came, or that was easy for Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. And anybody who studies the books of Shaykh al-Islam will know that. Yeah, and if you study whether it is the smaller books or the bigger books, you look at Al-Aqid Al-Wasitiyya and the many months, in some instances years, that our ulama they teach and extrapolate what was present within it. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah read it between Salat al-Asr wal-Maghrib. Man came from Wasit, needed a fatwa in relation to the usul of the religion, and I want to know what you say about it. And that is how the individual approached. And so he wrote Al-Aqidat al-Wasitiyya. Now we study it over 2-3 years. And now we have two large volumes explaining it. And it's something that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah just scribbled very quickly. And that is one of the things that he was known for. Yani, for sur'ah, not only sur'at istihdar, but sur'at al-qira'ah and sur'at al-khat, sur'at al-kitaba. That is, he was known to speak fast, to recite fast, and if he quoted, and that his writing, that he would write, he was speedy with his writing. And if you've ever seen a makhtoot of one of the manuscripts of one of the kutub of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, I've seen in maktab of Shaykh al-Sheikh Hamad a makhtoot with the handwriting of Shaykh al-Islam, his actual khat. Ikhwan, you're looking at the book, looking at the page, you can't make heads or tails of what was written. Sur'atul khat, and it is on that basis, Ikhwan, that it is makhtutat specialists that need to read the writings of Shaykh al-Islam. Because his writing, Ikhwan, is not easy to comprehend, because he would write extremely fast. And it was said that he would speak very fast when he would deliver. And that reminds us of Shaykhana Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. Yani, Shaykhana Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, in terms of istihdar, is likewise, Ikhwan, yani, known to be strong for his istihdar and his yani, his sur'ah when he would speak or would recite. And oftentimes it is an indication of what is going on in that amazing mind. And when someone has strong memory, strong istihbar, and the speed of his ilqa, it is not just that he's meticulously recalling slowly what he remembers, but text after text after text speedily indicates, ikhwan, what is going on in that amazing mind, ikhwan, that Allah Azza wa Jal had blessed that individual with. In terms of that which is related to his character and his physical appearance, and we haven't, ikhwan, even entered into the life of Shaykh al-Islam ila al-an. But in terms of his character and his physical appearance, then al-Imam al-Shawkani, he mentions, وَمَعْمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكَرَمِ. He discusses now some of his characteristics, just his characteristics and something from his physical appearance. مَعْمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْكَرَمِ وَالشُّجَاعَ وَالْفَرَاغِ مِنْ مَلَادِ النَّفْسِ وَلَعَلَّ فَتَاوِيهِ فِي الْفُنُونِ تَبْلُغْ 300 مُجَلَّدٍ. He said, it's on top of what he was upon from karam, from generosity and nobility, and from shuja'a, from bravery. And there are numerous stories, ikhwan, of the bravery of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And perhaps in our follow-up session, we'll mention something from them, from those qasas, his bravery with the Tatar, his bravery with those who were known, ikhwan, for taking life, that he wasn't afraid. A man who only had no fear except or didn't fear the creation, ikhwan, had no fear except of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned on top of that which he had from karam, from nobility, from shuja'a, from bravery, wa al-faragh min malad al-nafs, and from him being free of the the desires of the nafs, of oneself, and of the of the soul. And his fatawa, he mentions, reached somewhere in the region of 300 mujallad, 300 volumes. It is said concerning the authorship of Shaykh al-Islam that his authorships possibly number more than 600. Than 600 authorships. Of course, ikhwan, much of that has been lost, unfortunately. For example, the Aqidah of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah Al-Hamawiyyah, as was the case with the Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah, he was debated, and individuals approached him from the people of innovation to debate him concerning what he had written. The book became, those two books became widespread and caused Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah a lot of problems with the people of innovation, who at that time, of course, were likewise rulers and hukam. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah had munadharat and debate concerning al-wasitiyyah that, alhamdulillah, we still have. Those munadharat, al-munadharat fi al-wasitiyyah, are present within Majmu' al-Fatawa. Yani they are other than the al-aqidah al-wasitiyyah, rather they are the debate that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah had concerning al-wasitiyyah. And so individuals from the people of Ahwa debated Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah concerning his aqidah, and Shaykh al-Islam debated with them and responded to their shubuhat. Those debates are, alhamdulillah, recorded, or something from them are recorded and present in the first volumes of Majmu' al-Fatawa under Munadharat fil Wasitiyyah. So if you have Majmu' al-Fatawa, then you look in the index and you will see Al-Munadharat fil Wasitiyyah, the debates concerning Al-Wasitiyyah. There were likewise Munadharat fil Hamawiyyah. The biographers likewise, they mention that the Munadharat fil Hamawiyyah have reached some six large volumes. Six volumes. وَمَا بَقِيَ مِنْهَا شَيْءٍ مَفْقُودٍ. All of those volumes, ikhwan,
are lost and not recorded. And some discuss different reasons why those writings have been lost. And some mention that some of the Talamid, they did not record pay concern in recording the munadharat. Some mention, ikhwan, that they were taken during some of the varying wars that occurred with the Christians, the various conquests and what have you. There are varying reasons, but in any case, we do not have those books. So when it is said that he wrote over 600 authorships, ikhwan, many of those authorships we do not have. Some of them are large, some of them are smaller works. Now, similarly, he mentioned bal akthar, in fact more than 300, that is in the volumes that hold just his fatawa, and that is not his authorships, just his fatawa, and so that is different to his authorships. Just as majmu' al fatawa, ikhwan, is not, as you know, majmu' al fatawa is kam mujallad, how many volumes? 36 volumes. It was not a book that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah sat down and wrote. Many people, you'll hear them saying, and as Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned in Majmu' al-Fatawa as though it was an authorship of Shaykh Islam. Majmu' al-Fatawa, ikhwan, was just that. It is Majmu' al-Fatawa. From those fatawa that were present, that were found in manuscript form, they were gathered and collected by Abdurrahman ibn al-Qasim, collected those fatawa in one book. And so Majmu' al-Fatawa was a collection of that which was found attributed to Shaykh al-Islam. Whether a small response, a letter that he wrote to a king, a response to some question, an individual came seeking a fatwa concerning a particular affair, those smaller works, so smaller writings, were collected, and it is that we have within a Majmu' al-Fatawa. But it was not an authorship of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. Na'am, within it are the authorships of Shaykh al-Islam. Mathalan, Kitab al-Iman is a volume from the volumes of Majmu' al-Fatawa. Kitab al-Iman was an authorship of Shaykh al-Islam. But the Majmu' itself was not an authorship. It was not something that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah himself embarked upon authoring, but was collected. And so his fatawa alone reached more than 300 volumes. Rather more, وَكَانَ قَوَّالًا بِالْحَقِّ, and he was one that was قَوَّالًا بِالْحَقِّ. And he has sighat mubalagha he uses. He didn't just يَقُولُ الْحَقِّ قَوَّالًا بِالْحَقِّ. Then he was one that was constant in speaking the haq, speaking the truth. As we mentioned, ikhwan, there are numerous instances of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah against all odds standing up and speaking the truth, though he could well have lost his life, as occurred, for example, in one of the instances of him meeting one of the hukam from among the Tatar, and he is approaching him, one who had come to fight against Damascus and brought an army to fight against the Muslimun. He went to the leader, face to face to him. In fact, he stood knee to knee to him. And so description indicates that he was right next to him. And we're dealing with a zalim. And we'll perhaps mention what he mentioned within it and the words that he said to him. And then how that leader, who was known for shedding blood, how he responded to him. To the extent, ikhwan, that those who had accompanied him, they were afraid for Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. They said that we were gathering our garments, waiting for his blood to spill, because of how this individual was well known for spitting blood. But we'll perhaps mention that in our follow-up. Now, he mentioned, وَكَانَ أَوْ نَعْمْ. He said, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ لَائِمْ. He was not taken, or he was not affected by the blame of the blamers. And these characteristics, ikhwan, before we even look at the statements and the waqa'i and the various instances and incidents with Shaykh al-Islam, just to be familiar with his characteristics. As we mentioned, from the benefits of studying these biographies is that one emulates this alim, emulates the people of knowledge. On top of emulating that which we have from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on top of emulating that which we have from the seerah of our of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, the companions of this ummah, of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on top of that which is present from the tabi'een, the atba' tabi'een, we have the great lives of these great ulama. And so, what is mentioned concerning him was that he was qawwalan bilhaq, which is how we should be. And our problem is, ikhwan, that we have become a people, subhanallah, who are afraid and have become shy with the haq. Almost ashamed in some instances. And many of you, ikhwan, are familiar with what I speak. You're familiar with those instances where certain topics are raised, perhaps related to deen. And rather than making that statement of haq and defending the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, we become ashamed or shy at the very least. Even if we're not ashamed, but shy to speak the truth and to speak the haq because we're with our work companions or because it's one of the neighbors and we don't want to change the way that they view us or because it is a relative and we don't want to fall out, or because of the fact that it is a close friend and I look up to him or her. And so, rather than say that which is to speak the truth, then I'll smile with them and then go away and say, I can't stand the way that they say this and they say that, and it makes me sick, and such and such and such and such. But in actuality, ikhwan, the origin and the asal is that we are qawwalan bilhaq. And that is the example that we continue to see from our ulama, bihamdillah. This ummah continues to have shining examples of individuals like this. Shaykhna, Shaykh Rabi' mathalan, qawwalan bilhaq. Ya'ani, rajul ajib for speaking the haq and for not fearing the blame of the blamers. And our mashayikh generally, umuman, ya'ani, individuals who are qawwalan bilhaq, this characteristic, it still exists, ikhwan. But we have to see it and we have to observe it for us to really benefit. When we see it in practice, then we benefit from it, ayyuhal ikhwan. We see how responding to statements of batil should be. We see how braver we need to be. Because oftentimes, ikhwan, the difference between those who are qawwal bilhaq and us is just a little bit of bravery. Sometimes, ikhwan, we either lack or perhaps in this instance just can't be bothered to manifest. And none of us, of course, ikhwan, there is no one that loves drama. If we were to put it in our our terms, no one loves drama. But when it comes to the haq, ayyuhal ikhwa, then drama is a must in some instances. Prepare for it, ayyuhal da'i, ayyuhal salafi. La lazim. We've been going through 25 years or more of drama, month after month, week after week. And we have learned how the people of Batil, when you stand with shwaya taq, even though there's much more, ikhwan, that our ulama and the scholars of the past have done, that which we have made mention of, or that which we have conveyed from them, is shwaybas, shay qaleel. And still we're bombarded with attack from all over the place. Huh? Just type in SP. Into Google. And you see what I'm talking about. And they will spare no, they will leave no stone unturned in trying to make Ahlul Haq look like they are Ahlul Batil. Yani people ajibin fighting against the haq. But Ahlul Haq have to continue. The little haq that we're able to manifest, the bit of bravery that we have in those instances, then let us, ikhwan, use it. Not in dealing with that guy that cut you up when you was trying to turn left and he cut you up and made you have to break sharp. Huh? And the family went forward. So you turn the car around and you got some bravery now. Look, we're dealing with bravery with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan. Bravery, the bravery that really matters. The bravery, ikhwan, that will bring to us thamarat and fruit yawm al-qiyamah. And that is no doubt, ikhwan, the characteristic that we see throughout the biographies of these a'imma. Walidhalika, to this day, their names are being mentioned. A big portion of that lasting mention of our a'imma is the bravery that they had. And they didn't fear Allah Azza wa Jal. They didn't fear the blame of the blamers in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And feared no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that bravery, ikhwan, when we see it manifest, we see the effect and the athar of that bravery. To this day, ikhwan, 2018, in the middle of London, UK, we're speaking about Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. Perhaps Shaykh al-Islam himself would not believe that his name, the mention of his name, would linger up until this era. Perhaps he himself didn't believe that. But now, 2018, in the farthest regions of Europe, yani we have a gathering of individuals speaking about and looking at the life of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. If Shaykh al-Islam was to return, what would he say? He'd likely say, "Waman ana? Waman ana? Hatta tajlis ala hayati." That is what we would expect from the likes of these great a'imma. In any case, ikhwan, لا تأخذه في الله لومة لائم. He said, وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ وَعَرَفَهُ قَدْ نعم وَمَنْ خَالَتَهُ وَعَرَفَهُ قَدْ ينسبني إلى التقصير به فيه. He said, the one who خالطه, the one who mixed with him, knew him, lived with him, then he would attribute me to having taqseer in relation to his haq. That is, he would say that you're deficient in what you've said about him. You're deficient in what you've said concerning him. Those who actually knew him. He said, وَمَنْ نَابَذَهُ وَخَالَفَهُ قَدْ يَنْسِبُنِي إِلَىٰ تَغَالِي فِيهِ. Well, the one who fought against him, and the one who strived against him, and opposed him, then they would say that I've gone beyond bounds. He said, وَقَدْ أُوذِيتُ مِنَ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ وَأَضْضَادِهِ. He said, I have been harmed by both parties, by those who agree with him and those who oppose him. He mentions, and we'll let this be the last paragraph for today's session, ikhwan. Wakana abyad. This is his characteristics, now his physical characteristics. Wakana abyad. Aswadur ra's wal lihya. So he was white, but his head was black. Explain that, ikhwan. Yeah? Sha'ru, his hair. Interview. That he was white, but his hair was black. And his lihya. Qaleel al-shayb. He had few white hairs. Kind of like me. Sha'ruhu. قل ما شاء الله.
No, I'm only joking.
شعره إلى شحمة أذني. His hair was to his earlobes. So he had long hair to his earlobes. وكأن عينيه لسانان ناطقان. He said, it was as though his eyes were two speaking tongues. And that is, and you may have come across individuals who are like that, just from his eyes, yani, piercing eyes, just from his eyes speak volumes. Just from his eyes. He mentions Rab'a min al-Rijal, that he was of medium stature. And he wasn't, this is a similar manner in which Prophet ﷺ is described, that he was of medium stature, that is, he wasn't short, he wasn't very tall. Now, Ba'id, ba'idun ma bayna mankibayhi, that he had broad shoulders. Yani, no. Naam. Jawhari, a salt. That he had a strong voice. Yaqut fasihan sari' al-qira'a. That he was fasih, eloquent. And he was quick when he would read. He would read quickly. Ta'tarihi hidda, lakin yaqharuha bil-hilm. That he was... He would be overcome in some instances with being يعني, sharp, which may be looked upon as being shwaya coarse. Yani, his term hidda, yani, that he was coarse shwaya. Which is a similar characteristic that many say about Shaykhana Shaykh Rabi'a. But it was overpowered with hilm. That is, it was overpowered with clemency and forbearance. And that is, ikhwan, a beautiful jam. That is the balance. That a person is firm, coarse when it is needed, but that coarse is regulated by hilm, regulated by something from yani, forbearance and clemency. And so he's not just a wild... character, uncontrollable temper, la. And they're probably going to take that clip there, and they've said, "I'm saying the children's Islam temper was wild." It was not not that he was a wild character, but that he was one ikhwan that was firm when it was needed. And that is how the haqq is established. If you look, ikhwan, at the prophets and the messengers. And the prophets and the messengers, ikhwan, they didn't establish the haq by over apologetic, and I don't really mean to. They were firm with the haq, ikhwan. That is what the haq requires. That one is firm with the haq. It is the haq. It is the haq. And so, why are we playing about with it? Why are we being sheepish with the haq? Al-haq is haq. And if you have it, then be proud of it, be sure of it, and be firm with it. Of course, we're not saying be oppressive. Of course, we're not saying, ikhwan, go overboard. But when we have haq, ikhwan, the truth that was conveyed by the prophets and the messengers was conveyed with being firm with the haq and being sure of the haq. And not cowering, ikhwan, or pandering to anyone that has other than it. But one's love, ikhwan, is for it. And that is how, ikhwan, throughout time, the haq has been established. The da'wah, whether it be of the prophets and the messengers, or the da'wah of Ahlul Sunnah, was established, ikhwan, with that firm, strong conveyance of the haq. And that, subhanAllah, if we are afraid to convey the haq, but when it comes to our own haq, then we don't have any fear. When it comes to our own right, personal right, then we don't have any cowardice. Yani, we're brave when it comes to our own right. We'll confront that individual and phone the company back. And we'll go and speak to the mechanic and we'll go and tell him what for. When it comes to our own right, our own haqq. But the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan, that is greater
and more tremendous than any hat that we believe that we may have. We're sheepish with it. And there is a mushkila saraha, ikhwan. The haqq is spread with rijal, by way of rijal. As Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, ilm al-hadith, when it comes to ilm al-hadith, because ilm al-hadith requires something from that courage, yani making jarh of individuals, speaking against this one, establishing that, requires something from rujula. And so, Imam al-Zuhri, he said, ilm al-hadith, dhakar. Ilm al-hadith is a male. يحبه الذكور من الرجال ويكرهه إناثه. That it is a male and it is loved by the males among the men, hated by the effeminate ones. And that is oftentimes the case with the methodology, with this manhaj. This manhaj, ikhwan, it requires rujula. It requires some manhood. It requires some bravery. And that bravery, ikhwan, is oftentimes lacked by the people of hawa and desires. And so in their cowardice, they attack those who stand for this truth with bravery. Oh, there are people who are harsh. Oh, there are people who are this. Oh, there are people who only want to do such and such. And that is purely because of the fact that they have a problem with the bravery of Ahlul Sunnah and them standing for the haq. Let them try and tackle the haq itself. And you put aside the issues or what you see to be good or bad character, deal with the issue itself. I guarantee, ikhwan, they will never attack the issue. They will always attack something else. Character, or this, or statement, or the way this, or there's some issues, or there are things that, about those people, this, or this and that. Everything other than the sulb al-mawdu. What is the real topic? Deal with the topic. And as long as Ahlul Haq remain upon the Haq, then they cannot deal with it. And that's the only thing that they can do is resort to those methods and means. And we saw that in the life of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And perhaps, ikhwan, on that note, we round up. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.